This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
If you want to reach out to Kelly and company, you can do it a few different ways, folks. Follow along on Twitter at AMI Audio. That way you can see what's coming up on the shows, all the live shows here on the network, or any of the programs. Great way to interact and have a conversation at AMI Audio on Twitter. Feedback at AMI.ca. If you have questions about AMI TV, AMI Tele, or AMI Audio, feedback at AMI.ca. You can speak to the gang over there, Greg, David, and company in marketing and communications. Greg will be joining us on the program in just a little while. Hang in for that conversation with him. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, another way in which you can keep in touch with all of us, 1-866-509-4545. You can leave us a message, mention it's for Kelly and Company, and give us permission to use your message on air. We wouldn't mind doing that if we can. 1-866-509-4545. Before the break, I mentioned the recommender of the book this month we're doing, Jeff Ryman. He joins us now to talk health headlines.
I'm Jeff Ryman with The Health Report. I bring you the latest studies, advice, and health headlines from major newspapers, magazines, and the Canadian press.
Also doing double duty, filling in for Matt Agnew, teching this week on the program. Jeff joins us and grabbed a few items, sir, to chat about.
Yeah, I did. And actually, one of them's quite interesting because I feel like it's something that I don't do a whole lot of, but when I feel like I do, it actually makes a whole lot of sense and maybe motivates me a little bit more. But the first item is group workouts. Do you guys or have you guys ever partaked in a group workout?
I've tried. Like, yeah. When I say that, I mean like, what's the one in the pool, Jeff?
Aquafit?
Aquafit. That's what I'm trying to come up with. And for me, most of the problem was following along. I couldn't see the instructor. And this was years ago at the Y.
What about you, Rum?
Yeah, sort of. Like, adapted group workouts I've participated in. You know, CNIB has run different things as well as other groups.
Yoga, dance, too, right? Did you do yoga?
Yoga, exactly. Dance, aerobics, etc. But it was, like, specialized programming. And then we tried to do a virtual one with HIIT workouts, a high-intensity interval training, during the pandemic. It kind of fizzled away, but it was still really fun.
They were virtual.
Yes. So, it was fun. It was casual. Like, it was just a group of friends doing it and very descriptive. So it was nice.
Yeah. There's a lot more of, and even before the pandemic, groups that different places were forming, if people were into that. And I've, you know, when I was shooting for AMI TV, I got involved with showcasing and some of that stuff. But to actually say, did I ever do it regularly and something? No, not at all.
See, I've done it very minimally, and I feel like I'm with you guys. I have done yoga before, and I used to go pretty much on a weekly basis just to my local gym. And I feel like it did kind of push me to go harder because I'd look a lot around the class, and everybody was way more flexible than I was. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, I can do better than these people. And it was like just sort of like my inner competitiveness trying to like push me to do a little bit better than everybody else. Meanwhile, I probably look like an idiot doing so. But there's an interesting article from Healthline.com, and it's titled "People Who Exercise in Groups Get More Health Benefits." So obviously we know that doing these types of exercises can improve your sleep, your mood, etc., and all that. But there was a study that was done, and researchers looked at whether group exercise could help medical students, a high-stress group that could probably use regular workouts. So for the research, 69 medical students joined one of three exercise groups. So one group did a 30-minute group core strengthening and functional fitness program programmed at least once a week, along with extra exercise if they chose to do so. Another group were solo exercisers who worked out on their own with up to two partners at least twice a week. And in the final group, students didn't do any exercise other than walking or biking to get where they needed to go. So basically just everyday life. The researchers measured students' perceived stress levels and quality of life. So that's mental, physical, and emotional health. And at the start of the study, and then every 4 weeks thereafter. So all of the students started the study at about the same level for these mental measures. And after 12 weeks, group exercisers saw improvements in all three types of quality of life, as well as a drop in their stress level. So in comparison, solo exercisers only improved on their mental quality of life, even though they exercised about 1 hour more each week than the group exercisers. And for the control group, neither stress level nor quality of life changed that much by the end of the study. So this is really interesting because, like I said, I pretty much work out by myself. I might work out, you know, with a partner from time to time, but it looks like the group classes that are pretty widely available at most gyms that you sign up for nowadays is kind of the way to go. And like we were right off the bat, Kels, you mentioned AquaFit, there's yoga, there's, you know, high intensity stuff. So this is sort of almost making me reconsider what I should be doing at the gym. I'm not saying that, you know, going solo is a bad thing, because it's not. Obviously, it's great for your mental and physical health, but it looks like some of the benefits that are in a group setting is pretty beneficial as well.
I've always thought just having other people, and I do feel personally that it's something that being low vision or blind, and again, I'm not trying to use it as the cop-out, but I know some of the issue is sighted people can look over. Hey, look at what Jeffy's doing. I'm going to keep up with him. Jeffy's still going. He hasn't collapsed yet. I'm going to keep going. And I think those are the crucial benefits, because you have – or you can get a thumbs up from someone, whether it's the trainer. You know, keep going, keep going. You have the stimuli that every little bit of that helps you along. Yeah, sure, you can, you know, cheer to your buddy next to you or whatever, but I think that's where I kind of think, I think anything, any exercise obviously is beneficial on your own or in a group, but I think that's why they see some of the benefits overall, generally, and if you look at a general community out there, definitely it can be, if you're that kind of person, if you're self-conscious of what you do, you feel new or any other thing that makes you self-conscious, sometimes they can be the worst things. But yeah, I think I agree with this as a whole. If it's something you settle down into and get comfortable, I think it probably has a bit of a plus, unless, and again, you're not tugging everybody from the group to show up. Sometimes people say, well, I go with a friend of mine. Well, that's hard to do, because sometimes your friend, well, I don't feel like going tonight. Oh, all right. I guess I'll stay home too.
Yeah. But there's definitely like an energetic shift when you're doing things. I mean, there's also the middle ground, which is, you know, you and a personal trainer, right? For that motivation factor you were talking about, Kels. Yeah. But if you can't do that or can't afford it, then you can do the group exercises.
You got tons of them. And you can afford four of them.
Sure. No, I'm not talking about myself, obviously.
Oh, okay.
But there is, there's like the energy in the air. You know, when you watch videos, like workout videos at home, sometimes I wonder like how it feels to be sweating. Like, sounds kind of gross, but like sweating along with everybody else at the actual studio and doing it that way and doing all these, you know, workouts with them. Cause it, like through the screen, you can tell that the push, most of that push is being there in person with other people. And sometimes you can't get that same motivational factor of energy from being, you know, doing it at home by yourself or watching a workout video by yourself. You can try to amp up yourself as much as you can, but it's very different doing a spin class in person with an instructor and others.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, just to sort of play devil's advocate, and I do agree with what we've said previously, that I do think the group setting is the way to go, like myself. Like, it just sort of brings out your inner competitiveness. But then some people might also feel, you know, maybe a little bit shy about going to a group fitness class. They don't want to look like the awkward, you know, ugly duckling of the class.
Unexperienced, whatever it might be. Yeah. Or just, or the most out of shape.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
or the other way.
And honestly, in my opinion, just from my own experience, that's never happened where, you know, people try as best as they can. Like I said, when I was doing yoga, I couldn't touch my toes. Did I care? No. But like, you know, I tried to. So, but some people might feel self-conscious about that, about going to a group setting. So, you know, you sort of have to play both sides of that and just sort of pick and choose which class or group setting that it is right for you. So just an interesting article that sort of dives into that, because it's something that I didn't really think about too much. And I obviously, like I mentioned, group classes are very widely available. And I think even the pandemic, Rum, you mentioned that virtual classes seem to have, you know, gone through the roof, you know, 2 years ago at this time, and probably are still up there for a lot of people to go and check out. So yeah, if you haven't checked out a group class at a fitness center, I do encourage it. It is quite fun, and you can learn quite a bit from it too. I mean, from technique to form to different exercises, you name it, you can probably learn a little bit off of that.
I think it makes people, you know, who can understand that not everybody's perfect at this stuff, and not everybody picks up on it at the same speed. So sometimes it can be quite empowering, because you realize, well, I'm not alone. It's okay. I am in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And guys, I kind of want to pivot just a little bit, sticking with a little bit of exercise. Now, this is almost like a health/lifestyle hybrid here, probably more on the health side. But it's often said that fans at live concerts give the band a jolt of electricity. But Coldplay, you know, the band Coldplay, they want to literally harness that. So the superstars have added a kinetic dance floor and energy storing stationary bikes to their latest world tour, encouraging fans to help power the show as they dance or spin. Like, this just sounds kind of cool on one hand, but on the other hand, I'm like, I don't want to get warm and sweaty at a concert if I don't need to. But this is just sort of their way of trying to get people to understand a little bit more about global warming, what climate change, just a very unique sort of mission here from Coldplay to literally get people on the go and generating some great energy in the crowd. I'm going to pose the question to both of you. Would you guys go to a concert where, well, I guess you would have the choice. Would you choose to ride a bike at a concert, or is this like, no, thank you.
I'd ride the bike.
Yeah?
I wouldn't get on the floor and bounce around like an idiot and knock into people. I'd be too afraid of hurting somebody.
I think I'd be more for the opposite, Kels. Like, dance around and that, you can, you know, you're already probably doing. I went to a Beyonce concert. I literally never sat down. It was just, by the time I got home, I felt like I worked out for 2+ hours, whatever it was. But riding a bike seems a little, like, different.
I'd love it. I would love it, because to me, it's part of like fitness, whether I'm on a treadmill, whether I, you know, I'm biking or on the elliptical. I've gone to the gym, and that's, you know, just, and you're like, yeah, all right. You know, whether you're lifting weights or something, then they'd be, yeah, come on down here, lift some weights.
I also like, I'm just imagining like the dance floor being, you guys ever play that Dance Dance Revolution type game where you're constantly trying to tap your feet on squares that light up? Like, I feel like it would be something like that. But it does, like I said, it does, you know, sort of bring in to the fact that people need to learn and educate themselves more about climate change. So Coldplay is just one music act that's working to reduce the effects of climate change and their climate footprint on their tours. Other artists includes Billie Eilish, Harry Styles, The Lumineers, Dave Matthews Band, Shawn Mendes. So some Canadian content in there, John Mayer, the list goes on. Artists are reflecting an overall push in the entertainment sphere, from a sports teams to toy manufacturers, to reduce their carbon footprints. And there was a study by Live Nation found 82% of live music goers said they strive to maintain an environmentally sustainable lifestyle. So kind of fitting that I guess they would try to incorporate that into their concerts, into their tours and whatnot. So I'll leave it at that, guys. We got to wrap up. But that was sort of like a cross between health and lifestyle. So I don't know. I don't think I would ride the bike. Maybe the dance floor. But that's about it.
Well, it's like what Rum said, you know, always being on your feet, Rum. Like you said, you know, that's
doing it
people
anyways.
Are already doing it. Yeah. Yeah, really interesting. Good stuff, Jeff. Not bad at all. Interesting gather and some things to think about, especially how comfortable we are, how beneficial being in that fitness group would be. Well, let's sit down for a bit and take it easy as Jeff Ryman just gave us the latest health news. Coming up next, the U.S. television networks have wrapped up their spring cleaning of programming and there were many cancellations. We get the update with Greg David in 2 minutes right here on Kelly & Company.
Hi, I'm Stephen Scott. Join me every day for Double Tap. It's a show where we occasionally talk about technology for blind and partially sighted people. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts.